بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته In the last two sessions, we talked about two different levels or experiences of life. One is something that every person has experienced, has been to, and that is the lowest level of life, that is the worldly life, the physical life, that is what the Quran calls al-hayatu dunya, the lowest and the nearest. But we are also given the offer of trying to rise to a higher level of life, which according to Allama Tabatabai, it's actually a new life. A life on top of the physical or worldly life. And that is what the Quran calls Al-Hayat Al-Tayyiba. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Rasulullah has invited us and called us towards what can give us life. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Those men and women who do righteous deeds and have faith, we will certainly give them حياة طيبة, the goodly, pleasant life. So now we want to see what are main characteristics of the people who have that type of life and how we can qualify ourselves to have that type of life. Briefly, the Quran says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah." So if you want to summarize everything, it is iman and amal salih, to have faith and to do righteous deeds. But we see many people who seem to have iman and who seem to be practicing, but we don't feel that they experience different type of life, starting with maybe ourselves, maybe with people around us. It's not that we often see people who have that additional life, which we said it comes with light by which they walk, by which they talk, by which they go for university, for a school, for, I don't know, work inside, outside home. أَبَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ. Where is that light? So we need to explain further what does iman and amal salih mean, what type of direction they give to our life. It's not just saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and pray and fast and go for hajj and give zakat and khums and say, okay, now I should have hayat tayyibah. It's not just that. These are some signposts to make sure that you go within the boundaries, you move within the boundaries. But the main thing is you have to move. You have to have a direction in your life. You have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to turn your heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have turned your face towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are moving nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then salat and zakat and khums and hajj would help you. But we know that unfortunately, sometimes or most of the time, we learn how to say prayer and how to fast and how to do hajj and so on and so forth without turning ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we turn ourselves towards our own ego. So what is important is the direction in life is to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then all these things, of course, are there to prepare you for this stage if you have proper understanding of why you do it. This orientation in life, facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that you do or you say or you think, this is called dhikr. Dhikrullah is not just to invocate names of God by your tongue. Dhikrullah is not to say la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. A person can say all these names of Allah and still be forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even these names of Allah, if they are repeated thousands of times, they don't guarantee that you are remembering God. Although they should be helping us, but again, they don't guarantee. Dhikrullah is something that should be through your heart, through your mind. It cannot be judged when you see someone's tongue is busy, someone's lips are moving. This cannot be guaranteeing that this person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can guarantee a person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his or her direction in life. Where is he spending his energy? Why he is working hard day and night? What he wants to achieve? What she wants to achieve? Is his presence in this world adding to the good, to the truth, to light, to guidance, to justice? Or his presence is not serving any of these things? Is he an instrument, an agent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? These are the things that can show whether someone is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَبَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Very beautiful ayah, like all other verses of the Quran, but something that even we can understand its beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again gives us a comparison, like the verse we had last night, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Again, there is a comparison here. One side is the example of the people that Allah has opened up their chest, their heart for Islam. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. So they have been able to open up themselves towards Allah, towards truth, towards haqq. And therefore, فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. He has light. You don't need to create light. You don't need to produce light. You just need to open up yourself so that the light of Allah comes and settles in you. It's easy if we open up. And if you don't open up, no one can give you light. We have just to open up so that the light of Allah, which is everywhere, gets into my heart. Allahu nuru samawati wal ardh. Allah is the light, and He has filled everything in this world with light. The only thing that Allah has left it to us to decide whether His light is going to settle or not is our hearts. Otherwise, everything is full of light. Even birds, plants, everything, they are full of light. Of course, within their capacity. But they are full of light. But my heart and your heart, Allah has left to ourselves. We want to fill it with light, or we want to keep it dark. So there are people that they have opened up their heart. فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. They have light. They are عَلَىٰ نُور. It means that they are on, like, you know, for example, you are on a chair, you are on a throne. They are on light. عَلَىٰ نُور, not مَعَ النُور. It's like they are sitting, riding, or I don't know, walking on light. Like Prophet Sulaiman, who was going around with his rag. فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. But there are also people that their hearts are hard. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. These are the people that their heart has become like a stone, or the Quran says that there are some hearts which are even harder than a stone. Because sometimes you can have a big rock and water comes out of it, but there are some hearts that no good comes out of it. إِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ فَيَنْشَقُّ مِنْهُ الْمَا. Sometimes, even from a big rock, water can come, but some hearts no. So Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Woe to the people that their hearts are very hard and they cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remembrance of Allah is something that soft hearts can experience. If heart is hard, it cannot experience remembrance of Allah. So this is also a bishara for sisters that they have better potential for remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the softness of their heart. But also men can soften their hearts. And actually one of the things that can soften your heart is when you are faced with difficulties, with challenges. That also can soften your heart. When someone loses his dear ones, when someone faces difficulties, that also can soften your heart. But also you can voluntarily soften your heart. You can keep your heart soft. Inshallah, we'll talk about it. So there are two groups of people. The people who have opened up their heart, the light of Allah has come in and settled. And there are people, their heart is closed, is blocked, is hard. They don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. These are in manifest error. What is dhalal? Dhalal is to miss the right path. So it means that those who remember Allah and have light, they are on the right path. They are guided. And those who have closed their heart and they don't have light, they don't remember Allah, they are misguided. So then what is dhikr? Dhikr means to open yourself, to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let Allah's light take over your heart and mind and move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam says in Dua Ya Kumail, Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. I seek nearness to you by remembering you. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes iman, includes a'mal as-salihah. Everything that you do in order to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is dhikr. Even salat is for dhikr. Aqim as-salata lidhikri. If you do proper salat, it means that you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If salat is not done properly, it means that you are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are just making yourself, you know, physically involved in salat, but not letting the light of salat come into your heart. So, dhikrullah is the constant condition of the people who experience that high level of life, that hayat tayyibah, that spiritual life, dhikrullah. There is much to be said about dhikr, but I thought of sharing with you a beautiful sermon of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam about dhikr, which is very, very deep. And just when I was reading this again today, I was thinking that this is something that you can proudly present to any person who is seeking real spirituality and say, this is what we have. And I'm sure everyone will appreciate. It's very beautiful, very deep. Of course, it could be much better if we could say, not only we have this in our books, we practice this. Then that would be something that no one can resist. This is Sermon 222, triple two, so you can easily remember. وَمِنْ كَلَامٍ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. This is one of the sermons of Amirul Mu'mineen. When he recited this ayah, رَجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ and ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. There are people that neither business nor merchandise make them forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even then they are selling or buying, they are doing trade or business, they are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't cheat, they don't tell lies, because they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one level. Secondly, not only they don't tell lies and they don't cheat, they are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are in a state of remembrance of Allah and they do this. And the highest level is that actually for the sake of Allah they do business. So even selling and buying is for the sake of Allah. This is how much they are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Amir al-Mu'mineen, after recitation of this verse from Surah Nur, said this. إن الله سبحانه جعل الذكر جلاء للقلوب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his remembrance polish for our heart. With remembrance of Allah, you can polish your heart. Because from Quran, we understand that our heart can get smoked, can get dusted, and can become polluted, can become ill. There are many different conditions of heart when heart is not functioning properly. So, Amirul Mu'mineen says that heart can be polished by remembrance of Allah. Depending on how much you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can bring back your heart to its original condition. It will be brand new heart with remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَسْمَعُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْوَقْرَةِ. You know, sometimes we have life, physical life, but we cannot hear the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have heart, but they don't understand. They have ears, but they cannot see. They have eyes, they have ears, they cannot hear. They have eyes, they cannot see. Because there is no life. The spiritual life is not there. They can hear your voice. They can hear the voice of Prophet, for example, but they cannot understand the truth because there is no heart's life. So with zikr, after polishing and cleaning and purifying your heart, tasma'u bihi ba'da al-waqra, you would be able to again listen to things and clearly understand them. وَتُبْصِرُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْعَشْوَةِ, after being blind, you become again able to see. Now you can see and understand. وَتَنْقَادُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْمُعَانَدَةِ, after being rebellious, your heart didn't want to accept. You know, sometimes the heart in a state that doesn't take any advice, doesn't accept any word of truth. Even the pious people speak to them, there is no impact. Like Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, how many times he spoke and they didn't listen. They were understanding because they knew Arabic. They were not, you know, also physically deaf, but it was not going to the heart. But if it is a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or starts remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the heart becomes obedient after being rebellious. Then Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam says, وَمَا بَرِحَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّتْ آلَاؤُهُ فِي الْبُرْحَةِ وَفِي أَزْمَانِ الْفَتَرَاتِ عِبَادٌ نَاجَاهُمْ فِي فِكْرِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, in all ages, and in particular Imam Ali refers to the times of fatarat, when there are gaps, when there are problems and you don't see that much, you know, good around you. Still in those circumstances, Allah has some servants that Allah whispers to them. Najahum. Instead of them only whispering to Allah, Allah whispers to them and inspires them. Najahum fi fikrihim. Allah whispers to their mind and thought so that they understand. They come up with ideas that can help us and can save us and can show us the path. And it is all then depending on the people to take such people as their guide and leaders and teachers. Because these are the people that Allah is inspiring them and communicating to them. وَكَلَّمَهُمْ فِي ذَاتِ عُقُولِهِمْ. Allah speaks to their aql, to their intellect. فَاسْتَصْبَحُوا بِنُورِ يَقْظَةٍ فِي الْأَسْمَاعِ والابصار والافئده. Then such people have light, as we said from the Quran. They have light, and this light is in their ears, in their eyes, and in their hearts. When they get this light, one of the qualities of light is that it's shareable. Okay? If someone has light, other people can benefit, if they like. If they close their eyes, they don't benefit. If they turn their back to the person, they don't benefit. But the beauty of light is that whether the person himself decides to share or not, automatically light is shared. You cannot hide light. It comes out automatically. So these people who have this light of remembrance of Allah, يَذَكِّرُونَ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ Then they remind people of the days of Allah. Like Muharram, like Ramadan, like different days in the calendar that belong to Allah. And actually we can make every day Yawmullah if we are people of God. وَيُخَذِّفُونَ مَقَامَهُ These are the people that ask people to fear God and have respect for the high position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْأَدِلَّةِ فِي الْفَلَوَاتِ These are like guides. You know, when you travel, especially if you travel in a desert, you need guide because one mistake can put you in a situation that you would die. These are like guides that we need when we travel in deserts or we go to mountains. من أخذ القصد حمدوا إليه طريقة وبشروه بالنجاة. Because these are guides. When they see someone is on the right path, someone is moving with good orientation, they praise him and encourage him and say, have the bishara that you will be saved. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا But if they go to the east or west and deviate from the right path, ذَمُّوا إِلَيْهِ الطَّرِيقِ They blame him and say, why you've gone astray? You should come back to the main road. وَحَذَّرُوهُ مِنَ الْحَلَكَةِ And they warn them about being destroyed. وَكَانُوا كَذَلِكَ مَصَابِيحَ تِلْكَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَأَدِلَّةَ تِلْكَ الشُّبُهَاتِ So they become lights for other people. People benefit from their light. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why Rasulullah became misbah? Da'iyan ila Allah bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira. Because he was constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was helping other people to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is misbah, he is siraj. Like Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, Inna al-Husayn misbahul huda. And all the imams are masabihul huda. Of course, there are differences between their light, there are differences between the way people can relate to them. But all the prophets, all the imams, all the holy people, these are like misbah, these are like lights that shed light for other people, project light for other people. Then Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam says, وَإِنَّ لِلذِّكْرِ لَأَهْلًا For dhikr, for remembrance of Allah, there are people. It's not that every person can claim or can be qualified for this. This is a very high status. There are people who have worked hard to reach that level. Of course, it's available to everyone. You can try it, but you have to work for it. You have to struggle for it. إِنَّ لِلذِّكْرِ لَأَهْلًا أَخَذُوهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بَدَلًا They have taken remembrance of Allah as a replacement for dunya. So when people go after money and, worldly pleasure, they have gone after remembrance of Allah. So they are with people, they live among people, but their hearts are oriented towards something else. Don't think when they speak to you or sit next to you, they are there 100%. Only their body and very little of their attention is here. Most of the attention is somewhere else. And those of them who are in higher status, even when they speak to you as a case of remembrance of Allah. This is like Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam when he was in ruku, And in state of presence of heart, he noticed that poor person who was needy. This is not something in conflict with his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reached the level that they can pay attention to people, they can pay attention to dunya, but at the same time be 100% mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the people who have chosen dhikr instead of dunya. فَلَمْ تَشْغَلْهُمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْهُ. So business, merchandise, nothing make them forget remembrance of Allah. Then look at this. This is very important. All of it is important, but this is exceptionally important. If you are in dunya, and you are not attached to dunya, you are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are only physically here, but your heart is not here. Then you are like people who have actually left dunya and have entered the other world. So although you are physically alive, you are breathing, you are eating, drinking, speaking, walking, but you can have the same understanding, the same vision of the people who have left dunya and the veil is removed from before their eyes, they can see. You can also see the same thing. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, يَقْتَعُونَ بِهِ أَيَّامَ الْحَيَاةِ وَيَهْتَفُونَ بِالزَّوَاجِرِ أَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ فِي أَسْمَاءِ الْغَافِلِينَ. Till he comes to this point, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَعُوا الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. It's as if they have gone up to the end of their life in dunya and have reached akhirah. قَتَعُوا الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. So they are physically alive, but they have all the understanding and all the separation from physical world that a person who has died has. You know, when a person dies, why he can see things that we cannot see? Because he is detached from dunya. He has been detached from this body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ قِطَاعَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. We have removed the eyes from before your, the veils from before your eyes. Your eyes are now sharp. Okay. This happens. Mu'min, kafir, when they die, they all can see. And this is why iman is not useful at that time. It's too late. Because when there is no hijab and you believe, it's too late. But even kafir can see that realities. Even kafir can see the angels. Can see Barzakhi, hell and heaven. A person who is in the state of remembrance of Allah and his heart is not attached to dunya, Amirul Mu'mineen says he is like a person who has passed the stage of dunya. Although he's still in dunya, but he has passed this stage. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَعُوا الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَهُمْ فِيهَا. It's as if they are in Akhirah. They are here, but they are really not here. They are only physically here. وَهُمْ فِيهَا. They are in Akhirah. فَشَاهَدُوا مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. They have seen beyond dunya. فَكَأَنَّمَا اتَّلَعُوا غُيُوبَ أَهْلِ الْبَرْزَخِ. They have become aware of all the secret things about the people of Barzakh. في طول الإقامة فيه. How long people are in Barzakh? Maybe thousands of years, maybe millions of years. Who knows, you know, how long it's going to take till Qiyamah is set up. These people are with the people who are in Barzakh. وحقت القيامة عليهم عداتها. These are with the people who are in Barzakh, and the Qiyamah is now materializing its promises to them. فَكَشَفُوا غِطَاءَ ذَلِكَ لِأَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. It's amazing. Not only they don't have any qita now, there is no veil, Now they are helping other people also to remove their veil. Like Amir al-Mu'minin, when he said, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءَ مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينَ. If the veils are removed, I am not going to increase in certainty, because I have no veil. And they help other people to remove their veils. فَكَشَفُوا غِطَاءَ ذَلِكَ لِأَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ مَا لَا يَرَى النَّاسُ وَيَسْمَعُونَ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Then the people at dunya who are connected with them, they can see what other people cannot see. They can hear what other people cannot hear. You know, we have hadith that companions of the Prophet told him, when we are with you, we have very good, you know, condition, very good situation. We feel very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah was reminding them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we go out, again dunya comes to our mind and attention, and we lose that connection. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said that told them, if you were going to remain in that condition, you were able to see the angels. But unfortunately, that is like a very short, temporary experience for you. That is what we call hal. It's a hal, means it's something temporary. If it becomes maqam, if it becomes a station for you, it becomes a permanent station, then you were able to see the angels. And in another hadith, Rasulullah said, لَوْلَا تَكْثِيرٌ فِي كَلَامِكُمْ وَتَمْرِيجٌ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Had it not been that you speak too much and you let wrong ideas go around your heart, you were able to see what I see and hear what I hear. So this is possible. But unfortunately, we either don't experience that, or we experience it for a few moments, and then everything goes back to what we call it normal, which is very sad that for us to be normal means not to be that high in spirituality. It's normal in our life. Then Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, do you want to imagine such people and find out what is the way they have organized their lives? What are their main concerns? It's very important. What are the main concerns of these people? Amir al-Mu'minin says, فَلَوْ مَثَّلْتَهُمْ. If you are able to imagine that they are in front of you, you can see them, you can look at them, you would see that they have spread the records of their actions in front of them. قَدْ نَشَرُوا دَوَاوِينَ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. دَوَاوِين is the plural for divan. You know, like a book in which you record, keep record of everything. So before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges about them, they have themselves made the booking of everything ready, and they are constantly look at their own records. This is their main concern. They don't let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment judge them. They judge themselves in dunya, and they are very, very strict with themselves. Instead of being strict with other people, they are strict with themselves. وَفَرَغُوا لِمُحَاسَبَةِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They have tried to have some free time so that they can do these things. You know, one of the problems that we have is that we are very busy. Everyone is busy. And many people, I'm not saying all people, but many people, they are busy with the things which are not necessary. It's just we are not able to manage our time.
we are overwhelmed by the new technology. Always I have to be available on email, on messages, on WhatsApp, on Viber, online, and so on and so forth. It's not stopping. New things coming. And you see people, they're available in all these platforms, 24 hours. Okay, if this is the situation, for sure you don't have any time. You don't have time to visit your parents. You don't have time to visit your relative. You don't have time to study. You don't have time to sit with your family comfortably. You don't have time to have careful examination of what you have done in your life. We need to manage our time. These are the people that have managed their time. One principle for managing time is to set up your priorities. And based on priorities, allocate time. If for me a priority is a study, then I should say I want to allocate 10%, 20%, 50% of my time for a study. I allocate this much to, I don't know, family, community, business, earning halal. And I allocate this much to, I don't know, social media, to, I don't know, emails, text messaging, and so on and so forth. And I think one of the things that we have to do is to have full control of the time that we are online. Who said we have to be 24 hours online? 7 days online. And then you become addicted, and then you cannot feel comfortable without that. So we have to set up our priorities. These are the people that they have created faragh. They have created some free time for themselves. No one will come and do this for you. You should do it for yourself. Everyone demands from you time. You have to control. If it is for good reason, if it is a priority, then I decide how much time I want to spend on this issue, with this person, for this project. So, فَرَغُوا لِمُحَاسَبَةِ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَن كُلَّ صَغِيرَةٍ وَكَبِيرَةٍ. They have careful examination of themselves for every little or big thing. Not only big things. Sometimes little things are more important. Yeah? So for example, if you want to make a delicious food, you cannot say salt is only 2 grams, it's not important. Water is more important. No, if you are not careful about salt and 2 grams, for example, it becomes 4 grams or becomes 1 gram, the whole taste can change. Small things are very important. So they are careful about this assessment, self-assessment for every little and big thing. And then Amir al-Mumini alayhi salam goes forward and says, they are very worried. They are very concerned. Amir al-Mumini alayhi salam says, يَعِدُّونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ مَقَاوِمِ النَّدَمِ وَاَعْتِرَافِ. The same people that Amir al-Mumini said, they are light for other people. They are people that Allah whispers to them. But when you go to them, you don't see any sign of arrogance or self-admiration. Indeed, they cry over their shortcomings. This is important. Ya'idun, they cry, they lament. You know, do I know that we have Ya'idjal'ajun, lamenting, crying. مِنْ مَقَاوِمِ نَدَمٍ وَاَعْتِرَافٍ. They are very sorry. They regret. Why I didn't do better? Why I wasted my time? Why I didn't help people more? So this is their condition. But the same people are the people that angels come to them. قد حفت بهم الملائكة. Angels come to them and don't leave them alone. Actually, they gather around them. حفت بهم الملائكة. They are around them. وتنزلت عليهم السكينة. And they have tranquility. They are crying over their shortcomings and mistakes. But at the same time, they have tranquility of the heart. This is beautiful combination. You can be crying, but at the same time, you feel very content and tranquil. And you can laugh. And I don't know, few houses away can hear your laugh, but inside your heart be very sad. Like people who laugh for, you know, worldly gain. They, for example, sometimes they watch a comedy or I don't know, they make mockery of someone and they laugh. But you think they are happy in their heart? No, they are not happy in their heart. But someone who cries over his sins, over his shortcomings, or cries for the musiba of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in his heart is feeling satisfied, feeling light, feeling uplifted, feeling tranquil. So these are the people that tanazzalat alayhim as-sakina wa futihat lahum abwab as-sama. All the gates of heaven are open to them. So their dua will reach. Their salat will rise. The blessings of Allah come down to them. Because all the gates are open for them. There's nothing between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعِدَّتْ لَهُمْ مَقَاعِدُ الْكَرَامَاتِ. And seats of honor. We were talking about honorable life. This is honorable life. مَقَاعِدُ الْكَرَامَاتِ. The seats of honor are prepared for them. This is honor. If you want honor, this is honor. This is honor which is going to be permanent. This is honor that can change totally our life and life of people who are connected to us. Inshallah, you yourself go and read this sermon 222. Maybe in some editions of Nahj al-Balagha is one or two much you know, difference because you, sometimes numbering is different, but it's clear. So, inshallah, this is what we have to do. And tomorrow, with the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will mention how we can keep ourselves in that state of remembrance. What can help us and what is a very important part of a mu'min who is remembering Allah. Inshallah, we will discuss it. Tonight, we are remembering a very important martyr of Karbala. We are remembering Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, whose life is a great lesson. He was a person that had good heart, but was misguided, misoriented. He had good akhlaq, he had respect. You all know that he had a special respect for Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam was stopped by Hur, and Imam said, you know, I want to go to Medina, he said, you cannot go. I want to go to Kufa, he said, you cannot go. Then it is said that Imam said, Thakalatka ummuk, may your mother mourn for you. And Hur said, I cannot say anything because your mother is Lady Fatima al-Zahra. So imagine a commander who has lots of soldiers and is appointed by Ibn Ziyad, but has respect for Lady Fatima and for Imam. And when Salatul Jama'ah started and Imam started Salat with his people, he also joined Imam. So he had this respect, he had this ma'rifah, but was misoriented. On the day of Ashura, he was polishing his sword, but he was thinking deeply. And you can always find out some moments out of your life and have a reflection. Am I really on the right direction? Don't say, I have already been in this way of life 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, no way to think about it and change it. No, there is always a possibility of change. In every moment, we can go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah and His awliya would welcome, would not question us, would not say, why you have come now. They would always open their hands and embrace us. So Hur, for some time, was thinking, and he saw himself between hell and heaven. He tried to forget dunya, forget what he is going to be given by Umar al-Sa'd from dunya, and saw himself that if he kills Hussein, or is involved in killing of Hussein, or is part of the army who is going to kill Hussein, he certainly would go to hell. So he decided to distance himself from the enemies of Hussein. So he took his boots and put them, removed them and put sand inside the boots and moved towards the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And it is said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam saw Hur behind the tents. And Hur was very embarrassed, because he was a very honorable person, and he was, you know, one, you know, kind of qualities of people who are honorable is that they have great sense of responsibility, and if they do something wrong, they feel very guilty. So because of what he had done to Imam Hussein, especially to the ladies and children, he was feeling very embarrassed. So was not able to see the ladies, Lady Zainab, the children. So he tried to just see Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and it is said that he lowered his head and he said, Halli min tawbah. Is there any chance for me to be forgiven, to return? I know that I am the person who stopped you. So in a sense, I am responsible for putting you in this condition. But is there any chance for me for tawbah? And Imam alayhi salam said, as it's mentioned, raise your head. Hussein gives you honor. Hussein even gives honor to sinful people. Hussein doesn't say, you are a sinful person, so you have to be treated without respect and honor. He dignifies. And when Hur had got the permission from Imam and wanted to be the first person to give his life for Imam alayhi salam, and he was stricken and he was going to die, he didn't feel right to call Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He felt that he's not valuable and worthy to call Imam alayhi salam towards himself. But Imam alayhi salam rushed to Hur in order to see him before he departs this dunya and said, you are Hur. You are really Hur. You are really free. You are a noble person. In dunya and akhirah, you are Hur. You are Hur as your mother called you. This is the story of Hur, which is the story that every one of us can be inspired by. And from being an enemy of Imam, we can turn to a real lover of Imam, someone that Imam would say that you are noble and I accept and endorse your character. I just thought of sharing this poem with you, and inshallah we benefit from the brothers. آمدم بر آستانت، سرم سامان بگیرم. Oh, Hosea, I have come to your door. I want to put my head next to your door so that I can reform my life. Del daham del bar biabam, jan daham janan begiram. I want to give you my heart so that I can gain you. I want to give my life so that I can get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. آمدم در کربلایت تا کنم جان را فدایت. بگذرم زین عمر فانی، عمر جاویدان بگیرم. I have come toward you to give you my life so that instead of this short life of dunya I can gain an eternal life. از حضورت شرم سارم و این قدر امیدوارم که از عطایت میتوانم بخشش عصیان بگیرم. Oh Hussein, I am very embarrassed. I feel guilty for what I have done. But still, when I come to you, I come with hope that I would be forgiven. میهمان بودی تو اول، من به رویت را بستم چون ندانستم نباید راه بر میهمان بگیرم. You were the guest of the people of Kufa, but I closed the way and blocked your way. I wonder why I didn't realize that is not respectful treatment of guests. آمدم اکنون که قلب زینبت را شاد سازم تا که از زهرا به محشر سرخط غفران بگیرم. I have come not to make the heart of زینب happy, to let her feel that there is someone to defend Hussein, so that inshallah Lady Fatima would accept my forgiveness. آمدم تا اسقرت را عذر خواه خیش سازم، آمدم تا اکبرت را دست بر دامن بگیرم. I have come here to have Ali Asghar as my Shafi, Ali Akbar as my Shafi, so that they can ask Allah for my forgiveness. دست رد بر سینم مگذار و بگذر از خطایم تا به راحت سینه را در معرض پیکان بگیرم. So Hussein, please do not reject me and let expose my chest to the arrows of your enemies so that I be your ransom. Allah لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين.